Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values through different people and opportunities in life. It's always a pleasure doing the show. Thank you to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry. Without you, I could not do this show on a weekly basis. Now running 20 years, it's hard to believe, but what a great ride it's been. Well, today I have in studio with me a friend, but he's also well known to many of you as a former North Carolina basketball player, a head coach at the University of North Carolina, but just a great guy, Matt Daugherty. Matt, it's great to have you on the show today.
Well, David, thank you for having me on the show. It's really neat to be reunited with you in this way.
Yeah, well, it's great just to have a chance to get to know you better and to have our listeners get to listen to your life story and where you are in life and some of the things you've learned that life just throws at you that, you know, really only faith can teach you, and that's one of the places where we're going to go
yes,
today.
Sir. We both can talk about
we
that.
We sure can, and we will. Matt, you were raised where?
I'm from Long Island, New York, raised Irish Catholic. You know, it's funny because when I chose to go to the University of North Carolina, biggest concern my mother had was losing my faith.
Oh, really?
Yes. And Coach Smith, as only he could do, reassured her that, you know, he would make sure that I went to church and followed through with my faith, which Coach Guthridge always took us to church on Sunday mornings, even on the road.
When you were there, did you have to bring the bulletin back to prove that you had actually gone to worship? In my days, that's what he asked us to do.
I didn't do that for Coach Smith. I had to do it for my mother, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even more important. And Coach Smith was great at recruiting the moms.
Yeah. And then, you know, in turn, then my mother recruited Dave Popson's mother, Dave Popson being Irish, you know, not Irish, but Catholic from Pennsylvania, and had similar concerns. So my mother had to talk, you know, not had to, but was willing to talk to Mrs. Popson.
Reassured her.
Coach Smith was the best.
Yeah. He's quite a remarkable man. We both were influenced by his life, I know,
still,
in ways
to this
we
day.
Can't
yes.
begin to describe to people. We'll get into that a little later on in the show. But so you went to North Carolina, and after that, what happened?
Yeah, I played on some great teams, you know, with Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Kenny Smith, Brad Daugherty, Al Wood, Kenny Smith, I think I already said. I could go down the line. We had some great teams, and I think we had talent, but we're, I think, good guys that liked each other and played the way Coach Smith wanted us to play. And, you know, we talk about values, and you know, he would always say play hard, play smart, hard, smart, and together. And I think we did that. And if we did that on a consistent basis, we'd have a good chance to win each game. And so it was a real treat, and sometimes I pinch myself to have that experience at the University of North Carolina.
Yeah, I still have days where I wonder why in the world did he recruit me? What a privilege that was to be a part of that program, to go back up there for Letterman reunions, and to be a part of that incredible family, even now with Roy continuing.
Yes, Coach Williams has done a tremendous job of continuing that tradition and making all the former players feel welcome.
Yeah. After Carolina, what did you do?
I worked on Wall Street. I tried to play. One of the worst days of my life was draft day 1984, and I got chosen in the sixth round by George Karl and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And looking back, it was probably a favor to Coach Smith, but in the sixth round, it didn't feel like a favor. But they don't even have six rounds anymore. They only have two rounds. So that was a very hard pill to swallow, and I got cut by the Cavaliers and went to Wall Street. And I kind of equate it to a girlfriend breaking up with you, and you're like, I don't need you anymore. I'm going in the opposite direction, and went to Wall Street. Tommy Kearns was on Wall Street and had an influence on me and thought, well, I'll be like, you know, Tommy. And after about 4 years, I realized I didn't love bond yields. And I quit my job and moved to Charlotte thinking I was going to get in the real estate business in 1989. Because I felt like Charlotte would be the next Atlanta, and I'd like to pat my back on self on the back about the vision there.
Yeah, you were right on that.
It was. And so I interviewed with people like, you know, Johnny Harris and Childress Klein and all these other companies, and then started doing the radio at Davidson, and started coaching an AAU team, and Jeff McGinnis was the point guard on that team that I coached, and Charles Waddell, you know, both Carolina guys, was on staff with me.
Wow.
And I fell in love with coaching.
Huh.
And then ended up coaching with Bob McKillop at Davidson when he took over because Bob was my high school coach.
And then you went to Kansas and coached with Roy as
for
an
7 years.
Coach there. And
yep.
Then
Notre Dame
a couple of years.
And then thought I'd be at Notre Dame forever until Roy turned the job down at North Carolina and fell in my lap.
There you were now at North Carolina's head coach, and I want to talk to you more about that in just a moment because that's a part of your life experience that's formed you and shaped you.
Still.
And still today. I mean, when you go through those kind of experiences, you can't help but never be the same.
Correct.
Matt Daugherty's my guest today, former North Carolina great, head coaches at different institutions all around America, ESPN broadcaster as well.
I couldn't keep a job, Dave. I couldn't keep a job.
Well, today your job is to be my guest.
Okay.
We're going to focus on that.
I think I can handle that.
Everyone, I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Y'all ready?
I think we're ready for round two with Matt Daugherty here, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. For those of you who may not know, and it's hard to believe you don't know, but Matt was a part of the North Carolina basketball program on the 82 National Championship team, Coach Smith's first national championship.
That's right, and I bring that up to every former player. You know, they all like to think that, you know, it's like a big any family. Like, I'm the favorite child. Well, we're the favorite team because we were his first champion. So,
Matt, I'm going to challenge.
I know you will. I know you will, Dave. And we don't have enough time. You know, I hate it, but you know I'm right.
Well, I know you're right, but I'm going to say one thing that allows me to have one small claim to fame, and it's not really a great one. But in 1971, my senior year, we lost to South Carolina, who was then still in the ACC in the finals of the ACC tournament in a tragic moment and a bad tip.
Tommy Joyce,
Kevin Joyce, and Lee Dedman.
From New York.
Well, we went to the NIT in New York City, and we blew through the NIT. And that was back when the NIT was still very prestigious.
Yes.
Only 16 teams went to the NCAA. 16 teams then went to the NIT. So we played some really good teams, like Massachusetts with Julius Erving was our first opponent there. We won that going away. There wasn't a team that came close to us. And so I've always said Coach Smith's first national championship was 1971.
Yeah, okay.
How about that,
David.
Matt?
Okay, David. That's okay. Okay.
It's
your show. I'll let you get away with that.
Well, I've got one question for you on that 82 team. When the national championship game was being played against Georgetown, I have always heard that in the huddle for that last play when Jordan hit the shot to win the national championship, Coach Smith said, now our first option is going to be Matt Daugherty. Is that true or is that urban legend?
I don't know. That's not even suburban legend. I don't recall that at all. I do remember, I think he went around to every one of us and said, if you're open, knock it down, which I thought was great because you never knew. And they were playing a zone and there was no shot clock. And so he wanted to give everyone confidence. And I remember him, I know he said that to me. He might have whispered it to me. He didn't want to say it. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, if by chance you're wide open and have a 2-foot layup and Patrick Ewing fell down, you know, knock it down. But I think he said that to everybody. And he was just so calm. And I think that was the overriding feeling you got in that timeout.
You know, one of the things I tell every potential college player that I intersect with is make sure you choose a coach that 30 years from now you're going to be proud to have played for.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you feel that way. I feel that way. What's the one lesson Coach Dean Smith taught you that you've carried on for the rest of your life?
You can't choose one because there's so many. And they often just pop up. I think that it's like your parents. You know, as a kid, you roll your eyes when your parents say something, and then all of a sudden you're a parent and you're repeating what your parents said, and your kids are rolling their eyes at you. So, but I think that there's just so many. I mean, we don't have enough time in the show, but the thing that pops up a lot to me is praise the actions you want repeated.
Mm.
I think that is something that I use consistently. I do some leadership coaching, consulting with corporations, and team building. And I think that that is probably the number one thing is praising the actions you want repeated because it sets a tone in an organization when you catch somebody doing something right. other people in the organization want to get that acknowledgement too. And I remember watching tapes of when you were playing and Bobby Jones, and Coach Smith called them training tapes, and he'd show a clip of Bobby Jones just reversing the basketball from the top of the key, and praise Bobby Jones on the unselfish act of just moving the ball. And, oh, by the way, it's ironic how that's become such a big thing in the NBA is ball reversal, changing sides of the floor. Coach Smith preached that all the time. And the thing was, Bobby Jones was a great player, but I could do that. You know, and so your instinct is to, well, I want him to praise me. And if that's all he's asking, I can do that. And then maybe in years to come, he'll show a tape of me reversing the basketball. So all those things kind of go through your mind to get people to do the right thing, as he always said, play the right way.
Did you know Michael Jordan was going to be as good as he became later on after he left North Carolina?
I always get the three most famous questions are, did you think Michael Jordan was going to be that good? Is Dean Smith really as nice a guy as they say? And is Michael Jordan a nice guy?
Okay,
and
let's answer all three, Matt. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, actually, David, you go take a break, and I'll ask the questions and answer them. The first question with Michael is no. Like, I think I revered the NBA players so much that I'm thinking, you mentioned, Dr. J. I grew up on Long Island. I was a Net fan when he was with the New York Nets. I mean, to say that Michael's going to be better than Dr. J, I couldn't understand that. And Michael, so when we played, even though he's so good, especially his freshman year, you're thinking, you know, you can't, you know, to say he project he's going to be one of the best ever. But the step that he took that really got my attention, besides, you know, the obvious is freshman year hitting the game shot winner, and was the summer after his freshman year. His confidence and his strength grew. And you know how we always played the pickup games in the summer, and all these NBA players would come back, and guys like Walter Davis, who was an all-pro, who's Charlotte native, come back and was one of the best players ever, jersey in the rafters. And I remember Michael going at Walter in a pickup game in Carmichael, and I'm saying to myself, I was in the stands saying, Michael, show him more respect, his jersey's in the rafters. And Michael was the best player in the court. And we're talking about, you know, Phil Ford, Dudley Bradley, Walter Davis, Al Wood, Mitch Kupchak, Tommy Lagarde, and Michael was the best player in the court. So that's when it hit me that, okay, he's pretty good. And then when he was a rookie and he's scoring 45 points a game, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, taking it to a new level. Yes. Is Coach Smith as nice a guy as everybody seems to think he is?
I think so. I think, you know, he certainly has his edge, which you can't. You have to have if you're going to be in a competitive environment like that, and understands the political landscape of an institution, of a state. But his I think, graciousness, his ability to go out of his way to make people feel comfortable, his thoughtfulness to, like, when I was coaching there was a book that came out about Coach Smith. And in it was, you know, leading up to the championship game, and, you know, he would praise different players for the things they did. And then in the book, it said, well, we missed a foul shot with a minute 30 to go that would have put us up three or something like that, the front end of a 101. Well, we missing the foul shot, it was me, Matt Daugherty, that missed the foul shot. So I saw him soon thereafter in the Smith Center, and I said, Coach, you know, thank you for doing that and not mentioning my name that Matt Daugherty missed a foul shot. But you didn't have to do that. Like, to go out of your way in a book that, let's say, I don't know, 250 pages, you've written books, you know, to go over it with that fine-tooth comb and pick that out and make sure that my name wasn't associated with the missed foul shot at the end of a national championship game that could have cost him the championship? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I had that grueling experience with losing that game in the 71 ACC Tournament Finals, and I was in the game at the time when the jump ball occurred, and I'd always wondered if I made a mistake, if I was in the wrong place or whatever. And it took like 12 years later, I was with Coach Smith, and I said, Coach, I've just got to know, did I goof up? Was I the reason we lost that game? And with almost a smile on his face, Matt, he looked at me and said, David. He said, coaches win games and coaches lose games, players win them.
Right.
That's all he would say.
Right.
He wouldn't even answer my question.
Right.
Coaches lose game, players win them. That's the
his
kind
graciousness.
Of way he was.
He's a gracious man, and we're all flawed. And you know, and sometimes we put people up on pedestals, and you know they are human. But those qualities are unbelievable.
He's a remarkable human being.
Yes.
Well, what's the third question, real quickly, before we have to go to break?
Is Michael Jordan a good guy?
That's right.
Yes, and he asked Michael, is a good guy, loyal, like extremely loyal to his friends and former players, and something that I. You know, I don't wear it out, but I could text Michael and he'll text me back within, you know, 30 minutes. And it's very nice of him, very gracious, especially with all demands on his time.
Wow, an amazing ability to be able to say you played for Dean Smith, you played with Michael Jordan, and how that must have influenced your life. You know, Matt, as you look at your life and look back, if you had to counsel any leader today, mm-hmm. looking at Coach Smith and how he treated you, what you've learned about leadership, what would be one leadership lesson you would give?
Well, I do counsel. I have a leadership practice, David, that I started this summer, and I work with companies. I give keynote speeches. I have presentations, workshops that I do. And I think that the number one thing, two things I talk about is praising the actions you want repeated.
Mm.
I talk about that all the time. And I talk about failure. And how that it's not a bad thing, that you have to learn from it. Nelson Mandela says, I don't lose. I either win or I learn. And I think that's huge, is that it's okay to fail. People do. And the only thing that you become a failure if you don't learn from it and move forward.
Well, you know, Coach Smith, his deanisms, as we sometimes mm-hmm. affectionately call them, are in our hearts. And if you had asked me what's the one Coach Smith lesson he taught you, it's in this vein. It's that famous phrase he uses a lot. When you make a mistake, not if, but when you make a mistake, admit it, quit it, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true. You know, you own up to it,
mm-hmm.
You learn from it, and then you move on
mm-hmm.
because you can't continue to stay in the quagmire of that difficult mistake that you made.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to look back and hear you say these things because they bring to mind so many truths that he taught me as well. Matt, we've got to go to break.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want to talk to you about, you know, one of your most challenging moments in life, and that is when you were the head coach at the University of North Carolina, and the both of us talk about how do you handle difficult situations when you feel like you failed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. I'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear the program with Matt Daugherty and his perspective on life, leadership, and we're going to get into failure in just a moment, please go to the podcast, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this show from its beginning to end. Well, Matt, let's talk about probably the most challenging time of your life, I would guess, and that's when you became the head coach at the University of North Carolina. Again, as you alluded earlier, you at Notre Dame, thought you'd be there for lifetime, a good Catholic boy at the most
right.
Important Catholic institution in America. And Roy turns down the job at North Carolina to the surprise of everyone.
Correct.
And suddenly they turn to you after a very successful season at Notre Dame, and you become the head coach at the University of North Carolina. Tell us what's going on with you at that time in your life.
Oh, gosh. Just getting settled. Had a very good season at Notre Dame. We have good recruits coming in. And I remember calling Coach Smith from vacation, and this was the end of June, and saying, you know, asking Coach, I said, you know, when, like you used the term when before, not if, but when Coach Williams takes the job, if Kansas calls me, what should I do? Should I entertain Kansas, or should I entertain stay at Notre Dame?
Really? So your question was succeeding Roy at,
yes,
Kansas,
at Kansas
at that time.
Yes, because everyone assumed Roy was going to take the job.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he said, well, it's not a done deal here yet. You're still on the short list. And I chuckled and said, oh, well, that's a no-brainer. Like, I had no you know, do you dream? I don't know if I ever even dreamed about it. And so I left, and then literally a week later, I'm in his sitting down in an office with Coach Smith in the Smith Center, and he says, you know, we talk, you know, and the one thing I wanted to hear him say was, you know, it's your job, you run it how you see fit. And that's what I needed to hear that. And so that's what convinced me I could take the job. Because
you heard that from him,
yes,
and you thought now you could take it.
I could take the job because, you know, everyone was saying, well, he want to run the program and you'll just be a puppet and he'll control you. And I'm like, so I heard him say that, but then he said, well, can you take the job? I said, well, I've got to, you know, talk to my wife. This is a big decision. He said, well, just the typical Coach Smith. Now you'll get this. He said, well, just last week you said it was a no-brainer. And I said, well,
he never forgets anything.
Doesn't forget it. And I said, Coach, last week I didn't really realize I was a candidate. And so I flew back with my wife, and I'm on the plane, a private jet, and I'm with my wife, and I said, you know, I could be the head coach at North Carolina or the head coach at Notre Dame. And that sounds wonderful, right? But sometimes when you have two big decisions, a big choice, it's not easy to make that decision, a decision of that magnitude. And so, yeah.
Wow. So you become the head coach at the University of North Carolina, and you're not just succeeding Dean Smith, you're succeeding Bill Guthridge.
Correct.
Who was my freshman coach there when I came in and had been by Coach Smith's side for those 36 years, mm-hmm. a legend in his own way. And now Matt Daugherty's the head coach
right.
at this incredible basketball program. Matt, what's going on in your mind?
Well, first of all, that all happened late. Coach Guthridge retired the end of June or middle of June, which is weird.
Fairly unexpectedly.
Well, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. Mm. You know, why June? And Coach Smith, as you know, this is where your biggest strength's your biggest weakness, right? And we all have them. And Coach Smith's strength is control and political savvy and trying to be loyal to people. And, you know, in doing so, it kind of backfired when Roy Williams didn't take the job. And so
he didn't have a plan B, I guess, at that point.
No. And so, you know, then I take the job July 11th. Now, if, you know, those that know college basketball understand July is the busy recruiting period, probably the most important month in college basketball, because that's when you're out evaluating talent and letting kids know that you want them because of your presence at games. So I started that recruiting period out with a Notre Dame polo on. And then all of a sudden, July 11th, I'm wearing a Carolina polo going to see Carmelo Anthony in Baltimore. That's not good, David, to make that transition at that time, because I really needed to be with the staff. I needed to be with the players. I needed to spend time with Linda Woods, Ruth, Kay, Angela, Armin, and the players. But I had to go out and recruit, because recruiting suffered, quite frankly, at the end of Coach Guthridge's tenure. I'm just stating facts. And when I got the job, I told Dick Bedore, I said, my first year we're going to be good, because there were some good leftover players like Brendan Haywood and Joe Forte. And I said, my next year we're not. And my third year we're going to be rebuilding. Are you okay with that? And he said, yes. Well, what's he going to say? You know. And so I had to go out and recruit. And that was, you know, and bring my staff. And that's the other thing I asked Dick Bedore, is it okay if I bring my staff? Because if it's not, I'm going to stay at Notre Dame. Because what did Coach Smith teach us? Loyalty, right? You know, so I'm loyal to my staff because they put me in position to have a successful year at Notre Dame, and so I'm not going to leave them out in the cold. And so Dick Bedore said yes. Coach Smith didn't like that. You know, deep down, he did not like
that. He felt
that.
Like you should have been loyal to the North Carolina
Correct.
Guys.
Correct, the family.
Yeah.
And so that was that was not a good first impression. However, Coach Smith said to me, it's your program, run it how you see fit. But deep down, I don't think he meant that. At that point, he was recruiting me. Mm. And that's that's where I wasn't experienced enough, savvy enough to manage that. Because it was such a unique situation, and I was young. I'd only been a head coach 1 year. And, you know, it's either Coach Smith or Coach Guthrie's here for 36 years. Mm-hmm. You know, 39 years. And so it was all new to everybody. I don't think Dick Bedore really knew how to manage it. Coach Smith, you know, his plan blew up when Coach Williams said no. All of a sudden, I'm coming in. If I had to do it again, I would have either stayed at Notre Dame or I would have understood, okay, Coach Smith is saying it's my program, run it, but he doesn't really deep down want that. So I would have allowed Coach Smith to run the program through me a little bit more, and I would have figured out a way to bring my staff with me and kept the staff in place and said to Dick, hey, we need to keep the guys here, all right, but I need to bring my guys with me. Now, so we need to expand our budget and create some positions to take care of everybody. And, you know, that's what is experience.
So as you prophesied to Dick Bedore, that's exactly what happened. The first year you were pretty good. The second year it was not good.
Correct.
Third year you began to build, but then they didn't have the patience to let you see that next team begin to blossom and bloom.
Correct. I think a couple things. One, Sean May broke his foot at Christmas. We go from not being ranked to being ranked, I think, 12th in the country. Beat Roy Williams in Kansas in the Garden in the preseason NIT pretty soundly, and his team had come off the Final Four, and that team was going to the Final Four. But I think it was more than that. I think that, there was a little dissension in the ranks in terms of former players and inside the building. I didn't have the full support, and some of that was created by me and some of the decisions that I made early on that weren't supported. And then my style was a little rough, you know, as opposed to Coach Guthridge and Coach Smith. So a lot of that just bubbled up. And, you know, I think Coach Smith ultimately really wanted Roy there. Mm. And I thought, you know, Roy was the right choice from the beginning. So, yeah, there was a lot of politics in that situation that you don't realize the stress you're under till you're out of it.
So, Matt, you look back, and we only have about a minute and a half before we have to go to break again, but let's go ahead and set up the final segment, and that is, as you look back, what did you learn?
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, you don't lose. You, as Nelson Mandela said, you either win or you learn. And I think that's the attitude I try to take was that as a player and as a coach, when you lost a game, what did you do? You watched the film, you figured out your mistakes, and then you went to practice and tried to get better. And that's what I did. I went on a leadership journey through the help of John Black, who's a buddy of mine here in Charlotte, pointed me in that direction, took leadership courses at the Darden School at Wharton with Jerry Bell, who's a renowned leadership guru in Chapel Hill, really try to learn about myself and get better.
Mm. Well, you really did learn a lot because we've talked some about it. And in the last segment, I really want to talk about the faith part that helped you in moving forward. And, you know, how do we help people out there who have had life crises and have gone through them and are asking the question, what can I learn from this? Can I really keep going on? And how can life still make sense to me?
Perfect.
Matt Doherty's my guest. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show with my guest, Matt Doherty, North Carolina great on the 82-19 National Championship team, also a head coach at North Carolina Notre Dame, doing a consulting leadership work now, also doing some broadcasting on ESPN. Matt, it's just been fascinating talking to you. You know, you went through 3 years at North Carolina, and you were ultimately dismissed in one of the most painful moments of your life, and I've gone through something similar
I know you have.
Recently,
yes,
and
yes.
So we both share what that's like when that happens.
Misery loves company.
Yeah, and we both learned a lot through that, and I think what this final segment is, two questions. One is, where did your faith play a part of you know, recovery, for moving forward in your life? And also, what's the one major lesson you take away from that? And I want to add very quickly something that I've come to realize and probably didn't pay as much attention to as a North Carolina fan back when. But, you know, Roy won his 2005 national championship with your players.
Well, thank you.
Those guys you recruited and brought in, those were your guys that he won that national championship with. And every time I get a chance now, I say to people, you need to remember those were Matt's guys. Yeah. And if he'd stayed, you know, who knows, he might have won that national championship
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. I think the thing that I look at, first of all, it's called faith. Right? So you got to believe before there's any proof.
Yeah.
You know, and so as you're falling, I felt like I was free falling. And my safety net, your safety net, has always been Coach Smith and UNC. But now I was dismissed from that. So I didn't have a safety net. And I felt like I was falling off the Empire State Building and I was getting ready to crash. And I think God was there to catch me. But he let me fall.
Yeah.
He does that
with a lot of us.
A long way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to hit the pavement. And I almost feel like, you know, that's been 2003. So that's 16 years. I'm pretty sharp. That was pretty quick math.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That I just feel like I'm being caught right now. I felt that there was like a 16-year fall. I felt like God came out of the sky and slapped me in the back of the head and said, you know what? Too much, too soon. You're not handling it real well.
Mm.
Bam. Mm. And, that took me on this journey, this leadership journey, really to, learn and grow. And God doesn't promise, I'll butcher whatever. How you're the pastor, so you should know, like, you know, Matthew 5:12.
I can give you the verse if you want it.
Okay. All right. This is the cliff notes, but, you know, God doesn't promise you a smooth path.
No, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulations.
There you go. I know he comes.
Clear statement.
We make a good team. Like, point to the passer now, David.
There you
point
go.
To the passer.
There you go. I gave you the assist.
No, I gave you the assist.
Okay.
You know, so it drew me closer. Who, when things are going well, often says, "Oh God, thank you so much." They think like they did it, they deserve it. But when things go poorly, even non-believers, I think, say, "Dear God, please help me get through this."
Yeah, what's the often said statement when people are going through crisis? Oh my God!
Right.
Even the atheist says that.
Right.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! So you really believe then? You know, and so I think that it draws you closer to Him, and you realize, you know, I'm not going to be defined by being the head basketball coach at North Carolina.
Good for you. That's not your identity. That's
right.
Not who you are. And as I've had to say, my identity isn't being a pastor of a church. My identity is found in my relationship with God.
There you go.
Period.
Amen. Amen. So I think that, you know, as leadership and life is a journey. There's no finish line. And so the thing that I'm so excited about right now, and I talk about this in my leadership practice, is like my motto is learn and grow. And someone said to me in 2003, "You're a lifelong learner," and I never heard that term before, and it was so powerful. I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. Like,
you know, interesting. The word disciple means learner. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what the term actually means: pupil, learner, student. So you're just being a disciple of God. You're learning and growing because that's what
followers of Jesus do. I'm glad I got up for this show. I feel better already. Thank you. I really enjoy the learning and the growing. I'm a big fan of audiobooks. I try to pray, get on my knees every morning and pray, and also read a devotional to get my mind right. And I'm not perfect.
The club there. Yeah.
The only person who is perfect died on the cross at 33.
Cross. Right.
Right. Yeah. I can go on. The biggest thing I probably learned and the hardest thing I think we do as human beings is to forgive. That was hard. To forgive not only University of North Carolina, but to forgive myself. Because as Coach Williams would say, you're pointing at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you.
Right.
So I had, you know, maybe what I had was 75% to do with that situation. Maybe more, maybe a little less, but I had something. So I had to forgive UNC, but I have to forgive myself.
And you also have told me you learned who your friends really were.
No question.
And you also, the people you had to kind of feel some feelings toward that weren't there when you went through the difficult time.
That Rolodex gets cleaned out quickly.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's kind of healthy.
Yeah. You really do find out who your true friends are, the ones who surround you and are there to support you through the difficult times.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you could say to God, thank you for the North Carolina experience? Because the Bible says we're supposed to give God thanks in all things, not a some or a few, but in all things. Could you do that, Matt?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
No
I can
hesitance.
Now. I yes. can now. Mm. I couldn't for a while. It was more of a why me kind of thing. And then sometimes I think we all should say, why not me?
Mm.
You know, when somebody... You know, in someone's family, or you read about a disaster, the hurricanes that hit the Bahamas, or somebody's got cancer, and, you know, and then it hits you, and I think we're all quick to say, why me? And it should be like, why not me? Like, okay, God, you obviously think I have the strength to get through this, and maybe I can teach other people through this pain that we're going through, and out of pain comes your passion.
Right.
And so out of my pain came my passion for leadership, put me on my leadership journey, and now I want to coach others to help them avoid stepping on the landmines that I stepped on.
Wow. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And it says all things, not a few things. Everything works together for good. So you're here today saying that that awful experience that ransacked you was a good thing for you.
It was, because, you know, who knows? I could have been on a whole different destructive path had it not happened, and maybe I can help others through their journey.
Okay, Matt, we got to wrap up the show. You got 30 seconds. What's the one life lesson you would love for our listeners to know from your life today?
Well, I think, as I said, you know, my kind of motto is learn and grow. I think we all have to learn. Coach Williams always says you could be on the right track, but if you're standing still, you're going to get run over.
Matt Doherty, former Carolina great, head coach at Carolina, a man working through his life situations in a positive way through faith, through values. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And we'll do a round two, because I think I've got a lot more I want to talk
to you about.
Okay, sounds
good.
And everyone, do this for me. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commands. If you do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. I'll talk with you all next week.